this morning, we're going to cover the gifts of power, if you will. These are the three gifts that do something. So you have the gift of faith, you have the gifts, plural, of healings, plural, and you have miracles.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Today, Pastor Bill continues his 1 Corinthians series. This next message is entitled, The Gifts of Power. Now here's Pastor Bill.
1 Corinthians, let's look in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, we're teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings, and we're now doing a series or an in-depth study on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, let's look in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Let me just read a few verses to you. It's Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I want you to be terribly afraid of them. I want you to be so uncomfortable that you run away from them." No, God in His Word says this about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about them. I want you to understand them. And the only way to understand the gifts of the Spirit and not be ignorant is to understand what God's Word says about them. Amen? God doesn't want you afraid of the gifts. He doesn't want you uncomfortable with the gifts. But what He does want, He wants those that He's purchased with His own Son and His own blood. He wants to use you to change the world. Amen? So with all that being said, you know, as we look here, we go down and there's adversities and of the Spirit and so forth. Now, with all that being said, remember that chapter 11 through this chapter and chapter 14 introduces problems at this church that is so carnal, that is so, they're babes in Christ. They're walking after the flesh. There are divisions in the church. They're getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They're practicing sexual immorality. It's just one big, huge mess. And the main thing that they were doing, that they were tearing each other apart, literally, is because of the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit. And that's exactly what happens today. You know, if you don't know what God's Word says about the wonderful, beautiful gifts that He's given unto the church, then you know what? You can get in a lot of trouble, into a lot of flesh, and God doesn't want that. So the church at Corinth, they were especially abusing three of the gifts: prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, which we'll cover in depth over in chapter 14. So, but this morning, remember that this church was so zealous for the gifts, but they were zealous in the wrong way. They were using the gifts of the Spirit instead of to build up the church. Remember chapter 14, verse 7, that it's used for edification, to build up the church. That's what the gifts are for. They were zealous for them, but in the wrong way. So instead of building up the church, they were tearing the church apart. And God certainly doesn't want that. Remember that spiritual gifts are not natural gifts, but they're the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer to build up the church and also to carry upon the work of Christ on this planet. And again, God doesn't want you uncomfortable with the gifts. He doesn't want you afraid of the gifts. Matter of fact, did you know that you are commanded to desire the gifts? What does it say in chapter 14, verse 1? Pursue love and what? Desire spiritual gifts. If you get over, just look at verse 31, I believe it is. Yeah, of chapter 12. But earnestly desire the best gifts. Well, they're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Did you know in the Greek that is an imperative? Meaning it's a command. God's commanding. He said, well, I want you. I desire you. I'm commanding you to desire spiritual gifts. And then he says, I'm going to show you another way. Of course, that's the gift of love. We know that as we've studied out the scriptures here over the last couple of weeks, we know that the gifts operate by love. That's why chapter 13 is right in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14. You see, love is the energy behind the gifts. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are not meant to exalt man, not to build some ministry, not to make somebody famous so they can write books, get rich, and all of that. That's not what it's about. No, the Bible tells us this, that when the gifts of the Spirit are operated, are manifested in a scriptural, true scriptural manner, and in the correct way, that they bring glory to only one person, not a man, not a woman, not a ministry, but it exalts our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's important. Remember what Jesus said in John 16, 14 about the Holy Spirit? He will glorify me, the Lord said. So it's very important that we feel comfortable and we understand the gifts of the Spirit. Remember, don't ever, ever confuse, as we do today in our culture, don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the gifts of the Spirit, that's not a sign of depth of character or that I'm mature or, man, I'm somebody. Not at all. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, they show a person, show us a person's ministry or where God is using them. The fruit of the Spirit, which the fruit of the Spirit is love, it shows our maturity and our character. That's why Paul, writing in chapter 13 here in Corinthians, says, listen, I don't care how many tongues you speak in. I don't care if you have all knowledge. I don't care if you understand every mystery. I don't care if you have all of that. If you have not love, you are absolutely nothing. Very important, amen? So we need to keep that in mind. And also remember that chapter 12, the nine gifts that are listed, are by no means exhaustive. You know, you can go over Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and you'll have other gifts of the Spirit as well. Now, remember on these nine gifts, and we're getting ready to get into our text in just a moment, but the first three, you know, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, which we've already covered, they reveal the gifts of revelation. Now, that's not new revelation to where, oh, we're going to add another book to the Bible, okay? Now, if you haven't been here, you need to pick those up in the bookstore, or you can listen online and so forth, and you also need to pick up the introduction on the gifts of the Spirit too. But besides that, there's three here, the gifts of utterance, that's prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Again, we'll cover that when we get to chapter 14. But this morning, we're going to cover the gifts of power, if you will. These are the three gifts that do something. So you have the gift of faith, you have the gifts, plural, of healings, plural, and you have miracles. Now, listen carefully. Miracles and the gift of faith and the gifts of miracles, they work together. I don't know how to explain that, but they just seem to flow together. So let's look beginning in verse 9 this morning, where it talks about the Spirit on the spiritual gifts. It says, and to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, before I define the gift of faith this morning, I want to tell you what the gift of faith isn't. Number one, the gift of faith is not saving faith. In other words, where you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. Amen? So we're not talking about saving faith. As a matter of fact, the gift of faith can't be given to anyone unless they're born from above after you've been saved. All right? Also, the gift of faith is not natural faith. I don't know why anyone would think that. In other words, if you, go to your house and you have a little backyard and you plant onions, what are you going to get? Oh, well, we're smart here. Yeah, you're going to get onions. That's natural faith. And it's certainly not the faithfulness of Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, which is a fruit of the Spirit, talking about our character and our maturity. So we know it's not that. And it's certainly not, the gift of faith is not the faith of Romans 10, 17, where it says faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God, or Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that says that every man has received or been given a measure of faith. So that has nothing to do with the gift of faith. Now listen carefully about this great, incredible gift that operates in our lives sometimes. The gift of faith, loved one, is God's imparted faith to you at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific purpose. That's what the gift of faith is. Now listen, whenever the gift of faith is in operation in the life of the believer, it is absolutely incredible. Number one, because it's what it does to you. And you know that it's not you. You know that it is God. See, whenever the gift of faith is in operation, you believe, you can't doubt. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's not a doubt in your heart. I don't care what the circumstances reveal to you. No, you don't care. I mean, you see them, but you know the gift of faith is in operation. It's God's faith. It's not your faith. It's being imparted to you regardless of what is being seen in the supernatural. When the gift of faith comes upon by the Holy Spirit into a believer, okay, it's instantaneous. All doubt, all unbelief, all worry, any type of concern, it is instantly removed. The gift of faith is like a supernatural divine confidence that can never, ever be shaken. Why? It is a power gift. Now listen carefully. The gift of faith is not your faith. You hear that? That's so important. It's not your faith. It is God's faith imparted to you, specific time, specific purpose, specific place. And you don't own it. And it operates, as it says in verse 11, it operates as only as the Holy Spirit wills. It's His property. It's not our property. It doesn't belong to us. And you never know when the gift of faith is going to occur in your life. It can occur on the way home today. You don't have a clue. Only God does that. We don't know the moving of the Spirit. Are you following me? Very important that we see that. How about Elijah in 1 Kings 17? Remember when Elijah went to Ahab and said, hey, at my word, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And at my word, it'll not rain again until I tell it to rain. Well, you remember what God said. He said, okay, I want you to go and hide yourself at the brook Cherith. And here's what I'm going to do, Elijah. I'm going to send ravens in the morning with your food and ravens in the evening with your dinner. Now, that doesn't bother you, does it? I mean, does that affect you? No, I'd believe that. No, you wouldn't. You're worried about if you're going to eat at Luby's after the service. You understand? No, listen to me. I mean, imagine that. Here's Elijah. He's sitting there. You know, okay, I'm down at the brook Cherith. He did exactly what God said. And here comes the ravens in the morning, dropping off his breakfast. Here comes the ravens in the evening, dropping off his dinner. Now, listen, he never was worried. He didn't do anything. He didn't labor. He ate the food, leaned over to the brook Cherith, drank a little bit of water, went right back to sleep probably. Do you understand? It had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with God. That was the operation of a gift of faith. The first recorded miracle in the book of Acts happens in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And as they were going up at the ninth hour, which would be 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you know the story. There's a man there, and he's sticking out his hand. He's asking for alms. People laid him there every day at the temple, because, well, there's a lot of people that came, and that's a good place to beg. But he was lame from the day he was born. Now, so he sticks out his hand, and he says, you know, alms. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Grabbed him by. He leaped up. Man, he was made whole. And the crowd goes absolutely crazy. Amen? Now, you know that story. We probably know that story by heart. But now I want to ask you a question. How many times did Peter go to prayer? 9 a.m., 3 p.m. Every day. Do you think that he passed that same man every day? Yes. What was different about this day than all the other days? Why didn't Peter heal him the month before or 2 months before? He was there every day. He was laid there every day. He was helpless. Listen, what caused Peter and John on this specific day at this specific place to do something different? What caused him to say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk? All the people, of course, went crazy. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Whose faith healed the lame man? That's a good word. This is a smart side. You're well taught. This side there, well, I don't know. No, listen. Was it the lame man's faith? No, he wasn't expecting a miracle. He was expecting money. Amen? Was it Peter's faith? No, it couldn't have been Peter's faith. The reason I say that, why didn't he heal him the month or the second month before or whatever? No, the answer is found in Acts 3:12. Let me read it to you. So when Peter saw it, in other words, all the people going crazy, he responded to the people and said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? In other words, why are you looking at this miracle, man? He says, or why do you look so intently at us? Oh, that's what's happening today. Why are you looking upon man and not God? Why are you looking so intently upon us? And listen to what Peter says. Though by our own power or by our own godliness, we made this man walk. In other words, Peter says, it's not because of my godly lifestyle. It's not because of my own power. He says, oh, listen, no, that's not it at all. Listen, that's the same thing that's happening today. Ooh, in Corinth and now. See, in Corinth, they were going, oh, look what that person, look how God used that person. And they would start elevating that person. You have a people today that God uses them, they flow in the gifts, and something happens, and everybody flocks to it. You understand? I'm going to ask you a question. Did he announce to the people of Israel, okay, at 3 p.m. in Jerusalem, at the temple, we're going to have a miracle service? Why do we do that today? When it's not our will, it's his will. Are you listening to me? You see, you don't know when God's going to move. You can't plan a miracle. You can't schedule a miracle, but you can believe in him. Now, Peter goes on and he says this, because we know it wasn't the lame man's faith. We know whose faith it was. In verse 16 of Acts chapter 3, listen to what Peter says. He says, and in his name, meaning Jesus' name, through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Here it comes. Yes, the faith which comes, and it tells us how, through him, meaning through Jesus, meaning it was the gift of faith, has given this man perfect soundness. See, it wasn't Peter's faith. It wasn't the lame man's faith. It was the gift of faith. That's why Peter said, listen, such as I have, I just got it from God. That's why you've been laying here. I've been passing you by every day. But such as I have received, such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why? It was the gift of faith in operation. That is an incredible, unbelievable gift. Now listen, it operates as God wills, the Holy Spirit wills, not when we want it to. Another thing is, it's not about you. We're purchased possessions. Listen, God's not going to give man the glory. He deserves the glory. Amen? That's right. And remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:31. Paul says, if you're going to glory, glory in God. But they were glorying in men. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. And I'm of Paul. I'm of Christ. You know the whole story. And all those things. No, listen. The Bible tells us again, chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love, but desire spiritual gifts. Pastor Chuck Smith, who's, you know, Costa Mesa, California, who's home with the Lord now. You know, years ago, you know, he was doing several services. And at the end of the last service, there was a family, some grandkids. They brought their granddaddy down to the altar. Said, Pastor Chuck, would you pray for my granddaddy? He was in a wheelchair and so forth. And so Chuck said, well, sure, I'll pray. And the moment he got over to the wheelchair, immediately the Holy Spirit came upon Pastor Chuck. And it was the gift of faith. And he reached down and he grabbed that man's hand and pulled him up out of that wheelchair and commanded him to walk. And he got up and walked up and down the aisle. The kids were going crazy. He hadn't walked in 5 years. Do you understand? True story. Now listen. And then the grandkids said, oh, Pastor Chuck, man, we brought our granddaddy down here because he has a cold. And we didn't realize, you know. No, I'm serious. I'm telling you, that really did happen. You see, you never know when it's going to happen. The gift of faith. It'll come upon you in all different situations. You just, you know, I remember one day in my first pastorate, this was so unbelievable. Here we were finishing out the church, and we needed $10,000 to pay for all the brand new carpeting. You follow what I'm saying? So here we are, and we don't have a penny. We don't have a penny. I mean, we are broke. I'm broke. The church is broke. Everybody's broke. And it was in the poorest county in the state of Texas. And that's the honest God truth. But the Lord said, put the carpet in. And so, you know, my Becky and everybody, you out of your mind, man. No. The Lord spoke to me. He said, put it in. I put that carpet in. Of course, they want their money. They want their money that day. And the Lord spoke to my heart, came upon me, the gift of faith. Now, listen. I looked at my wife. I was in the kitchen. I'll never forget it. I had to pay those people today. I looked at her. I got so excited. I said, do you know what? Somebody's going to give us $10,000 this afternoon to pay for all this. She said, oh, God, help my husband. He just used it. I mean, listen, that was our first pastor. We were young. Now I'm worn out. Yeah. No, you know, we were growing in our faith and all those things. And I said, no. I said, we're going to, and anyway, the telephone rang. I answered. I said, wait a minute. I gave it to Becky. I said, you take it because it's going to be the $10,000. Honest to God. She took the phone. Hello? Voice on the other side. You're not going to believe this, but someone just came up to me and gave me a check for $10,000 to give to Bill. Honest to God. Now listen, that really, really happened. See, that's the gift of faith. My office used to be right up there, okay? Right up, you know, upstairs. There's an upstairs. I don't know if you know that or not. It's where church keeps all the money. It's in the red right now. And so the Lord spoke to my heart, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we were on the radio here and other areas, you know, so forth. And he said, the Lord said, I want you to go on, I'm telling you the truth, on, what is it, 107.1 or whatever it is. And I said, Lord, do you know what it costs to go on the, I mean, you don't ever say that to God. You know what? I said, Lord, it's $10,000 just for a 15-minute program, you know, of whatever it was, once a week or every day. I can't remember, okay? And as the Lord is my witness right now. Matter of fact, I know that Merlinda, I've showed you what I'm about to say. She's seen what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there, and I said, well, Lord, if you know, really want us to go on another radio station in the Metroplex, I said, I need $10,000. I said that, and immediately the telephone rang. They transferred, you know, the line said there's a person, he was a doctor, and he said, I'm in Dallas, and he said, you know, I listened to your program, but I want you to be on the air in Dallas. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm going to write you a check. I'm going to come and see you tomorrow. I'm going to give you a check for $10,000. I said, really? I could go to my office right now and open up my journal, and you would see the check that he wrote for $10,000. And we went on. Do you understand what I'm getting at? You see, it's God moves upon us all the time. One of the most incredible, the gift of faith is so incredible because you don't know when it's going to happen. Whenever, in our first pastorate, I know I've told you this story, I know probably 1,000 times, but loved one, I have never seen God move like this. You know, we, for the first 5 years, we lived under the poverty level financially. I mean, we were just broke. And to make a long story short, we finally, when the Lord said this, okay, it's time for you to leave now. You've done your work here. You need to leave. Okay, well, here I am. I don't have any money. Our home, I put a little for sale sign in the yard. You know, I didn't want to hire a realtor because we couldn't afford to hire. In other words, we were 3 months behind on our house payment. So here I am. You know, I've been crying out to God. We don't have a dime in our pockets. And the Lord tells us to move. Hello? Do you understand? I feel like he was exiling me, like I wasn't, I'd failed the Lord in my pastorate. And so here we were, you know, back then, this was in the, you know, early 80s, you know, and back then, you know, people would send out their religious stuff in the mail, you know what I mean, to get you to give. So anyway, I had this one that came in the mail, and it was a picture of a hand, you know, color, it was in color too. And it just said, whatever your need may be, just lay your hand upon my hand and pray, and I'll be in agreement with you. I looked at that. I was so mad. I threw it on the kitchen table, you know, went to bed that night, got up the next morning about 5 o'clock. And I was so stressed because I knew that they were going to repo this house and we were going to lose everything that we had. And here is an embarrassment. It was a reproach as a Christian. I believe for that to happen to me, a reproach upon the name of Christ, that is. And I'm in the kitchen. Becky's in the bedroom sleeping. Thomas is just a little baby. And the Lord speaks to my heart. He says, son, I want you to go over to the kitchen table and I want you to put your hand in that hand that's on the kitchen table and I want you to pray. And I knew when that happened that I was completely out of my mind. I'm being honest with you. And I said, okay, what have I got to lose? I'm crazy anyway, you know. I walked over and I put my hand there and it was just like the Lord said, well, what do you want? I said, Lord, I need my house has to sell. He said, okay, today your home will sell. Now, wait a minute. Do you understand? I mean, do you think that the cheese had gone off the cracker?
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with the conclusion of this message, and we do encourage you to tune in again. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast today. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.